Would you open up your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And this morning we're going to start in verse 24. Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 24. And as you turn, let me ask you this question. Would you be willing, and I'm asking Christians this morning, would you be willing to die for your Lord? Would you be willing to forego life and liberty, forego the right to a pain-free death for the glory of God? Have you ever asked that question of yourself? Have you ever wondered, would I be ready? Would I be willing? Should God bring into my life a situation in which I must choose between His name and His glory and life itself? Would you be willing to die as a martyr, to testify that Jesus Christ is of utmost value, that He is more valuable to you than life itself? Would you be ready? Would you be willing to die as a martyr for the cause of Jesus Christ? You say, well, Pastor, that is for a certain type of Christian, not American Christians, but Christians perhaps in Africa or in Asia, the spiritually elite. Those are the ones who are called to give up their lives for Christ. And in a sense, you would be right, because to die as a martyr is a high honor that most Christians do not get, at least not these days, at least not in America. It is a high honor. What greater honor is there than to be counted worthy to lay down your life for the greatest value in the universe? Amen? Sure. But would you be ready? Would you be willing should that time come for you? Pastor, that's only for the spiritually elite. In a sense, yes, because it is a high honor. But in a sense, no. Because martyrdom is in essence self-denial. Martyrdom is in essence self-denial, the denial of personal rights and agendas, the denial of life itself, the denial of a pain-free death, the denial of all that you think you deserve. Martyrdom in essence is what? Self-denial. Self-denial. And self-denial is what God calls every Christian to every day of their life. Amen? Look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. And let's read this passage together. Then Jesus told His disciples, "If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself." Notice that. Let me say that one more time. If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself. Deny himself. As opposed to gratify himself, as opposed to live for self-indulgence and self-promotion and self-ambition, rather deny himself and take up his cross. There's the metaphor for self-denial. And follow Me. The parallel passage in Luke says to do it daily, every day. If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. And here's some reasons. Four. Whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life, not for religiosity, not to try to force God into a corner to save you because of your merit and your worth, not because you are an ascetic, not because you're trying to pay for your sins, but for His name. You have to understand the difference. There's different types of self-denial. This is a particular type of self-denial. Let him take up his cross and follow Me, for whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for My sake, important caveat, will find it. For what will it profit a man? Here's a reason. Here's why you should deny yourself. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with His angels in the glory of His Father. And then, in that time which is appointed in the future, then He will repay each person according to what he has done. He will repay those who have lived lives characteristic of self-denial. and he will repay those who have lived lives characteristic of self-gratification. He will repay. So, we're going to talk about this passage today and next week. But what is going on here, first and foremost? This is an invitation from Jesus Christ. This is gold here, by the way. This is gold. As far as biblical texts go, this is biblical gold. This is the diamond of truth. You want to know how to become a Christian? You want to know how to become a disciple of Jesus? You want to know how to become a Jesus follower? You want to know if you are or not? This is gold. It's an invitation, an open invitation. And in traditional churches, oftentimes, I should say not real traditional, but at least traditional in the last 70 years or so, there's a little custom that they do at the end of every sermon where they preach the sermon and then they invite people to respond. And they respond in by walking the aisle and then they pray at the front of the church. Raise your hand if you've ever seen that done before. Yeah, okay. It's a tradition. It's a particular discipline. It's a ritual of sorts. It's a response to the Word of God. It's an invitation that a preacher asks, come, you know, all who are willing, all who are repenting and wanting to follow this word that you have just heard, come on up here and show by coming up here that you're repentant, et cetera, et cetera. That's an invitation. And I don't do those for various reasons. I have my reasons. We do invitations in a different way, if you pay attention. But here we have Jesus giving an invitation. Amen? He said, just a few verses earlier, he said, the Son of Man must go to Jerusalem. He must suffer many things and he must die. And Peter said, no, may it not be. And Jesus said, get behind me. Get out of my way, Peter. You don't have your mind set on the things of God. You have your mind set on the things of man. The Son of Man must go to Jerusalem and he must suffer and he must die. And then he says, here's his invitation. If anyone would come after me, if anyone would be a disciple, if anyone would be a Christian, if anyone would be a little Christ, if anyone would be a follower of Jesus, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Now, you see the context there. That's his invitation. It is an open invitation. If means that it is conditional. If means that it is not a foregone conclusion. If means that it is not everybody. But if anyone, any one of you, any boy, any girl, any child, any man, any woman who would consider, contemplate, investigate, if you're a visitor here this morning and you are attracted to Jesus in some way and you are considering his claims as King and resurrected Lord, here is the invitation to you. If you, if anyone would contemplate and consider following Jesus, then here are the terms. And the terms are, you will notice, self-denial. Would you say amen if you're tracking? Notice it does not say, if anyone would come after me, let him learn over a long period of time mystical exercises. And when he gets to level 13, when he gets to black belt, then he will enter into proper communion with God. He will be at one with God. No, this is not something that you have to be an expert in. Amen? You don't even have to be grown up. You can be a little child. This is something, these terms are something that a child can do. He does not say, if anyone would come after me, let him take out the Ten Commandments and over a long course of time, discipline himself and master these commandments so that he can show me from earth that he is worthy to be saved. He does not say that at all. This is something that a little child can do. This is something that a little screw up can do. This is something that a little messed up, deluded, confused, lost person can do. You don't have to be a black belt. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be a master. This is something that anyone could do. Here are the terms. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. All right. So what does that mean? Well, on one hand, I could say it means everything James said about salvation with faith. And works, and a faith that works, and a faith that doesn't work is not true saving faith, but a faith that does work is saving faith. Raise your hand if you've heard that before. Everything that Paul says when he says there was a righteousness which has been revealed, which is not of works, but which is by faith in Jesus Christ. Everything Paul says about salvation, when Jesus talks about salvation and he says it's like someone who found a treasure in a field and he went and he sold everything that he had in order that he might get that one treasure. Everything that Jesus says about salvation, James says about salvation, Paul says about salvation, it all fits into this. It's all one and in accord with this. Jesus is not teaching anything new or in addition to. He is teaching the same things as James and Paul and himself in other parables. If anyone would be a disciple, if anyone would be a Christian, then his life is to be characterized by self-denial, not self-gratification. If you have intellectual knowledge of Jesus Christ, and you add to that intellectual knowledge of Jesus Christ certain cultural prowess, you have morals and you have etiquette, and you know how to behave, and you know how to talk in a way which seems at least vaguely Christian, and you participate in religious rituals, and you do so well, and you've been doing so for many years, and yet your life is one of self-gratification, greedy grabbing for the stuff of this world. More, more, more. Take, take, take. And you have an insatiable appetite for this world, an excessive obsession with this world, the tangibles of money and sex and fashion and homes and the intangibles of pride and prominence, then you are not a Christian. That's what this passage says. You have intellectual knowledge of Jesus. You have cultural customs. You got them down pat and you appear to be vaguely Christian. You are moral. Relatively speaking, you are more moral than the people you see on television. You're responsible for your family and your friends and your nation. Yet you live a life of greedy grabbing for the stuff of this world, holding on to life. You live a life characterized by self-gratification. You have not yet done the basics of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. You have not yet entered in. Today is the day you should repent. Today is the invitation. If you would, cultural Christian, if you would be a true Christian, deny yourself. Amen? Now, what does that mean? The self. The self is, well, it's a big topic, but real quickly from our text, the self is everything within you. The aspect of you which has its mind fixed on the things of this world, just as Peter did a few verses earlier. If you see your greatest good as being found on this side of heaven, that's a worldly mindset. That is a mindset of the flesh. That is a mindset of the self. The self is that aspect of you that has its focus, its attention is drooling over the stuff of this world. The prominence, the ambition, the pats on the back and the applause, and the women and the money and the fashion and the fame. All of you, that aspect of you which is running the rat race and living the American dream and wants more and more and more. That's the self. That's what Peter didn't want to give up. That's what Jesus says. If you're going to follow me, you must die. You must kill that guy. You must mortify that guy. The self is in you, that aspect of you, which, according to our text, is grabbing two armfuls of this world and holding on to it tightly. Hoping to save his life, hoping to greedy grab for this life. That's the self. The self is that aspect of you that wishes to be God and doesn't want anybody telling you what to do. The self is that aspect of you which is the little spoiled, rotten brat that is sitting on the throne of your own heart, wanting God to serve you like a fairy in the sky. Give me this and give me that. That's the self. And you are to deny that brat in your heart. You're to acknowledge, as Paul says, that there is no good thing in me. There's nothing of merit, nothing that God can look upon and say, well, you know, that guy deserves to be saved. There is nothing good inside of me, inside of that natural self that demands to be God and grabs at the forbidden fruit. That guy in my heart, that self inside of my heart, I deny him. I deny him. And I wake up every single morning of my life and I deny him. I say no to him. I say enough is enough. I say get off the throne. God is on the throne of this universe. Get in touch with reality, self, before it's too late. You know the story of Peter. Peter, we're following Peter's life in this sermon series, trying to find out what it means to be a disciple. And it's not easy for Peter. It's not easy for us. Amen? Peter is going to be faced with a situation where he is going to be asked to die for Jesus. I asked Peter, Peter, are you willing to die for Jesus? Will you be a martyr? Will you lay down your life? And he would say, I don't care if everyone denies you. I will never deny you. Raise your hand if you've heard that or read that in the Bible. Peter says that. He's very confident. But then a few pages later, a little girl calls him out. And he says, I don't know that guy. I don't know Jesus. No, no, no. He denies him. He denounces him. He disassociates with him. He renounces all claim that Jesus might have over his life as Lord and Savior. He says it with a curse word. I don't know that man. He's passionate and zealous, and he strives and he wrestles and he fights against anyone thinking that he has something to do with Jesus. He denies him, and the rooster crows three times. You know the story. In that passage, the word denial is mentioned nine times. And it is the same exact word we find here in our text for deny. What do we learn from that? We learn that everything Peter did to Jesus, disowned him, disassociated with him, renounced any claim of him over his life. You're not the boss of me. I don't even know you. We're not friends. Everything that Peter did to Jesus, we are called to do to ourselves. Amen. Brandon, I don't know you. You don't own me. You're not the boss of me. You don't tell me what to do. I don't live according to your dreams and your agendas and your mission. Brandon, get off the rat race. Brandon, stop living the American dream. Get off the throne. God is there. He is the one that owns me. He purchased me with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He controls me. This is self-denial. And it is not, notice in our text, it is not a one-time thing. It is not something that we've done in the past. And if you have done it in the past, great. But that is not what Jesus is asking. He's not asking, have you at one point in your time, and one point in your life experienced a choice in which you made to deny yourself in that moment? No, no, no. It's not a one-time thing. Notice it is a following. It is a path that you walk. It is a way that you travel. It is a trail that has been blazed by Jesus as your substitute and your pace setter. And you are on that path and you are daily walking a life which is characterized by saying no to the greedy little spoiled brat in your heart. A life characterized by self-denial. This is the prerequisite and the characteristic of a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen? And Jesus says, if anyone, here it is, open invitation. If anyone would come, he came to seek and to save the lost. He came to call sinners to himself. Here he is calling. Come and die. Come and be a martyr for my name's sake, for the utmost value in the universe. Come and die. If anyone would, come and die. Now, I feel like we need some reasons for this, right? Maybe you've had reason enough. But I'd like to give you what the Bible gives as reasons. There's a lot of reasons you should deny yourself, and we're going to get to some next week. But today I'd like to take you back to the Old Testament, to the book of Ecclesiastes. And we're going to look in chapter 2, and I'm going to read it for you. But you're going to have to open up your ears this morning, because I'm going to read. And I know what happens when I just start reading. It's the same thing that happened when I taught junior high and high school. When I start reading, their minds start drifting. But I'm reading God's Word. Pretend you are sitting down at a dinner date with God. The lights are dim. It's just you and Him. And He's speaking to you. Get off your iPhone. Quit working in your head. Right, men, you know how you can work in your head. I do that. Quit working in your head. Get off your iPhones and let God speak to you. Here it is from Ecclesiastes 2. Solomon, one of the wisest men that ever lived, he said this. He said, I said to myself, and I'm gonna skip around just a little bit, but just see if you can follow. Come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. And so he's going to test. He's going to try out all the pleasures of this world. He starts with laughter. Laughter. I said, he tried laughter. And he said, it's madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? Socializing, hanging out together, watching movies with friends. He tried it all. He tried all the laughter that the world could offer him. And he says, what does that accomplish? He goes on, he says, I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, partying, clubbing, drinking it up, living a life of reckless abandon. My mind still guiding me with wisdom, meaning, well, I knew that wasn't the way to go. That wasn't accomplishing anything. Moving on, he tries another path. He tries the ambitious, more conservative approach. Are you ready? I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. Here he is, developing land, cultivating kingdoms, doing that which kings and princes do, and governors and mayors and men and women. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. He tried the left approach. He tried the right approach. I'm going to try drinking and partying and friends and socializing and festivals. That's not working. I'm going to try building kingdoms and empires and institutions. That's not working for him. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and a harem as well, the delights of a man's heart. Now he tries sex and romance and power. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. He tries his hand at prominence and fame and prestige and high office. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired, living a full tilt, self-gratifying life. Denying himself nothing that his eyes desired, an insatiable appetite that had at his disposal all the food in the world, and he ate. Desired with a lustful eyes all the women he could have, and he took. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet, here it is, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was, say it, meaningless. Learn the easy way this morning. Learn from his stupid example. Learn before you're on your deathbed. Learn before you stand before the one who will repay all men according to what they have done. Stop before it is too late. Learn this rebuke from Ecclesiastes 2. It's in the Bible for a reason. Everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. If you live a life of self-gratification, you will come to the end of your life and you will have two handfuls of wind, of air, of nothing. Like holding water in your hands, it just runs through your fingers, Solomon says. If you live your life that way, it will be a flat out zero. It will count for nothing. You will count for nothing. It will all go down as meaningless. Greedy grabbing for the tangibles and intangibles and delicacies and extravagancies of this world. All the fine dining, all the women, all the houses, all the fashion, all the money, the prestige, the fame. Grab it all and you'll be nothing when you die. You'll count for nothing. Your life will count for nothing. Now that is a persuasive argument. That's pretty practical. Amen? That's pretty persuasive. You cannot hold fast to the Word of God and continue running the rat race for your self-ambition. You can't. You can't be a disciple of Jesus Christ and continue down that path. You can't even be a wise person. You can't even live a decent life living like that. But that is a practical and a very persuasive argument. But Solomon's argument is an argument based on what happens this side of the sun. If you live a life like that, you will have wasted your life. But what about when the sun goes dark? What about when the end of the world comes? What about when the Son of Man returns to judge the living and the dead? What about the other side of the sun? Shouldn't we also consider that? Amen? Listen to what our text says. Verse 27. Jesus now gives us His reason why you should deny yourself daily and stop living a greedy, self-gratifying, grubbing little life. 4. The Son of Man is going to come. He's coming with His angels in the glory of His Father. That is, He's not coming like a little baby, not in a manger, not in little Bethlehem. He's coming in the glory of Almighty God, in the Shekinah clouds of His glory, returning as the Son of Man to judge the living and the dead. And then He will repay each person, not each family, not each tribe, not each nation, though that is all true too, but here each person according to what he has done. Now we know from other texts, and we know either also from here, that is, he will repay those who have lived a life of self-gratification. Those who have raised themselves up, he will lower them, as all mountains will be leveled in his presence. Those who have seated themselves on the throne of the world and of their own heart will be quickly dismissed and dethroned. Those who have exalted themselves will be debased. But those who have given up for the cause of Jesus Christ, family and friends and the pressures of this world and money and clothes, will receive 100-fold what they have given. As Jesus says to Peter in a few chapters. All those who have lost themselves now will find themselves then. All those who lower themselves now will be exalted then. All those who give up the kingdoms of this world will be given the kingdoms of this world. All those who refuse the ill-gotten bread of the tempter will be given the bread of life for all eternity. Solomon gives us a very practical and persuasive reason for denying ourselves every day. And that is that your life is counting for zero. Every day you tick off in self-gratification, you are amounting to nothing, to meaninglessness, which is literally the breath. It's a vapor. And Jesus gives us a reason on the other side of the sun, because if you continue to live a life of self-gratification, your eternity will count for nothing. And for all eternity, it will count for nothing. It will be nothing. You will be nothing. And what will you say to yourself? What will you think of yourself, having lived 70 years of greedy for this? And to lose an eternity, to lose your soul. If anyone would be my disciple, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. We must not forget this biblical gold. This is what it means to be a Christian. This is what it means to be a disciple. This is the basics. Let him deny himself. Metaphorically, take up his own cross, the will of God, not his own will and his dreams and agendas, but God's, and follow him every day in a path of self-denial, which leads to death. The death to self. Wow. So, I ask you one more time. I remind you of that question we asked earlier. Would you be ready? Would you be willing to lay down your life for the cause of Christ? Should you be asked to? Would you be ready, Christian? Would you be willing then? Are you willing now? Would you be willing to forego life and liberty and your rights and your dreams and your agendas, all that you have built, all the kingdoms of this world, all your successes and ambitions and pats on the back and applause? Let it all go so that you didn't deny your Lord. Let it all go to show everyone around you that He is of utmost value to you. Would you be ready to do that? Would you be willing to die as a martyr? And is that not exactly what this is asking us to do? You got to admit, it sure sounds like it. Let me give you the context. Jesus says, the Son of Man must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things, be handed over to the chief elders and the chief scribes, and be killed. And Peter says, oh no, no way. And Jesus says, yes way. And if anyone will follow after me, let him pick up his own cross and follow after me. Doesn't that sound like if you want to be my disciple, you've got to die with me? You've got to share in the fellowship of my suffering? You've got to walk the path that I'm walking? Doesn't that sound like he's asking us to be ready and willing to die? Amen? Oh, yes, it does. We could go on all day about how that contradicts much of American Christianity. That's not my main point this morning. My main point this morning is to talk to you. Amen? To ask you, are you ready and willing? You say, Pastor, well, I don't know. I suppose I would have to get into that particular situation where a gun is to my head. And then I would know. But until that time comes, I can't possibly know with any level of certainty whether or not I'd be ready and willing to give up my life for the cause of Christ. But Luke 16, verse 10 says this. Let me read that for you. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. Jesus said that. He gave it as a principle for those who were considering whether or not they would follow him. And he says, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. Interesting. What this means here, if we apply this principle to this point, what it means is that you can know with some level of certainty whether you would be ready and willing to die for Jesus Christ, based on whether or not you're ready and willing to die for him today in the little things. If you die to self in the little things, you could be somewhat assured that you would die for him in the big things. Amen? If you refuse to die to him in the little things today that he asks you to die to self in, then you can be assured that you will not be ready nor willing to give it all up for him. If you can't give up an afternoon, don't think you're going to give up your life. If you can't give up a paycheck, don't think you're going to give up your life. If you can't give up your own ambitions and dreams and agendas and will right now, don't be deceived that you will ever receive the high honor of martyrdom. You will not be ready for it, nor would you be willing. You would only be exposed as the cultural Christian that you are. What this means is that when, this is just little stuff here, when you come home from work and you're tired and you're beat and the kids are going to bed in 3 hours and you just want to take a nap, and you just want to have a little alone time for your own personal diversions, and your wife has been with the kids all day or has had the same tough day as you, and it's a choice between whether you are with the kids or your wife is with the kids, and your children need adult companionship and they need adult affection, and they probably, perhaps depending on what school they go to, need to be debriefed after their day of education, and you just want to take a nap, Jesus says to you, deny yourself. If you're ready and willing in those little things, you're walking the path of self-denial. If you're ready and willing in those little things, you will one day be ready and willing for the big things. If while you're at work and you're going about your daily business and you have a customer who clearly is ignorant, at least of what you're doing, and the customer's clearly in over their head, and you could easily exploit them and make ill-gotten gain and excessive profits, yet you say no to your greedy, grubbing self because you wouldn't want someone to treat you that way, and you follow after the golden rule given to you by your Lord, saying no to money and yes to the kingdom of God, you are obeying in the little things. You are on the path of self-denial. You would be one day ready and willing. If you were combing through the catalogs, flipping through the commercials, on the internet, and your eyes see all that you want, and you want more, and you want more, and you want more, yet you know your brothers are in need, and that there is the mission of Christ going on and throughout the world, and you choose to deny the self and say no to the self, to forego search purchases, to limit yourself, to spend with modesty and moderation for the cause of Christ and for the love of others, you are on the path of self-denial. You can be assured that you would one day be ready and willing. But if you refuse to forego purchases, you refuse to have the biggest and the best, and you just take, greedy, regardless of what other people need, regardless of the mission of Christ, regardless of the needs of your wife and your children and your husband and your family and your friends and your neighbors and the world, regardless of the glory of Christ, then you can be rest assured you will not be ready and willing to pay the ultimate price. These are the little things. We could go on all day, couldn't we? Thinking of the multitudinous ways in which we are called every day to die to self. This is the path of the disciple, a prerequisite to enter in and a characteristic of one who is on the proper path of Christianity. As a church, I speak to you as a church, let's close with this. If you agree with what I'm saying, if you can testify that this is true, though you are not perfect at it, though you want to grow in this, would you say amen? That's a tough thing to acknowledge. Amen. That's a tough thing to acknowledge. That's good. That's good. Now, Pastor, what if I don't do so well at it? What if I'm trying to live for others and trying to submit myself to the law of love? What if I'm trying to forego certain things for the good of my brothers and sisters in Christ, for the good of the mission of Christ throughout the world? What if I'm trying to be radically generous with my money and my time and not trying to greedy grab for fashion and homes and ambition and pride? What if I'm doing it, but then I make a mistake and I fall off the path? What then? Well, I have good news for you. The path has already been walked. Amen? Walked perfectly. The trail has already been blazed. Jesus Christ has already lived the life that you should live. The life of total self-denial, denying himself the ill-gotten bread of the tempter, denying himself all the kingdoms of this world for us. So when you fall off the path, know that you can be forgiven. You are forgiven. Confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive you of all your greedy grabbing. And get back on that path. Amen? And when you do well for a season, don't you look down your nose at other people. Don't you look down your nose at other Christians. You didn't get there because you are morally superior. Amen. You pray and you thank him for a little victory that day. And the next morning you wake up being attentive to the temptations of the tempter and the snare of the stuff of this world, setting your eyes on the kingdom of heaven, and you do another day praying for another victory. And for asking God to forgive you when you falter. This is the life of discipleship. Amen, church? Amen. Let's stand and let's close in prayer this sermon. God, we thank you for your word. As a church, we're still wrestling with how to be a Christian in America. How to be a Christian in Lafayette, a relatively affluent city. A city with oil and a city with money and a city with ambition and pride. And how do we live in this world? How do we be salt and light? How do we be a counterculture? How do we testify on a daily basis that you're more valuable, that you're higher than any Chase Tower, that you are more magnificent than all the applause of all the men, that if we had all the world and we stacked it up, it would not be as beautiful and as valuable as you. How do we testify to that? Through self-denial daily. Help us with that. We ask for your grace. Make us a church known throughout this community as one who dies to self for the good of the community, for the good of others. Help us to be that kind of church. Famous for good deeds. Famous for radical generosity. Famous for mission. Famous for dying daily to testify of your utmost value. We ask for this grace in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you agree, would you say amen?